Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you are in the world of aviation maintenance, and specifically if you run or work for a US-based repair station that holds ESA 145 privileges, you are likely feeling a very specific kind of regulatory tension right now.
That tension, it's really coming from this inevitable migration into the post-2026 operational environment. It's a date that, for the maintenance side of the industry, it really marks the true beginning of the safety management system, or SMS, era.
Right, an era that's, you know, driven externally, but it demands this huge internal transformation.
It really does.
Exactly. And our mission today is not about the regulatory checkbox. I mean, we assume you're already well on the road to getting the required SMS documentation. The real challenge we want to explore, and the one we're hoping to help you solve, is moving that system beyond just, you know, paper compliance.
And setting our sights firmly on high-value, measurable safety performance.
That's the key word, performance.
It is. The source material we're digging into today comes from some high-level industry experts who, well, they understand that a paper SMS is inherently inert. It doesn't do anything on its own.
So the solution isn't the manual itself?
Not at all. The solution is the mechanism you use to operate it. And that mechanism, they argue pretty convincingly, must be a relational database. A tool that's specifically designed to handle these complex overlapping dependencies.
Okay, let's unpack this for the listener. The big question we're addressing today, the critical piece of knowledge you need to walk away with, is this. How does this seemingly voluntary safety program, which is, at the end of the day, a compliance obligation from an international agreement,
right?
How does that actually transform into the most powerful operational and change management tool your company owns? How do you turn a regulatory cost center into a real strategic asset?
To answer that, we really have to quickly clarify the regulatory landscape because, as you mentioned, it involves this international negotiation. The EOA's SMS regulation, that's EOSA Part 145.A.2.0, it applies directly to repair stations based in Europe.
But not here.
Not directly, no. It does not apply directly to US-based repair stations.
So how does it get dragged into our regulatory orbit? I mean, how does it end up on the desk of a manager in, say, Tulsa?
Well, it flows indirectly. It comes through the FAA-ESA Bilateral Aviation Safety Agreement, and specifically something called the Maintenance Annex Guidance. Or MAA.
The MEGA, right.
EASA requires the U.S. repair station to comply with this SMS requirement as a condition of holding those really valuable 145 privileges.
Which lets them work on European registered aircraft.
Exactly. So it's like saying, we agree that your FAA certificate is valid, provided you meet this special condition.
And that provision is designated as a, what, a special condition?
Precisely. For the last few years, U.S. repair stations have complied by establishing a voluntary SMS that meets the requirements laid out in 14 CFR Part 5. And crucially, up until now, just getting FAA acknowledgement of your participation in that program has been enough.
And that, I think, is where the initial risk lies for so many organizations. If they saw that FAA acknowledgement, that little stamp of participation, as the final goal, they risk stopping right there.
That's the trap.
They got the compliance sign-off, but they completely neglected the operational implementation.
Absolutely. That acknowledgement is merely the start of the SMS journey.
Yeah.
It proves you have a policy, does not prove you have a functioning system. And if you stop there, the system is just administrative overhead.
It's a burden.
It's a huge burden. It consumes resources without generating any real safety value. The true value and, you know, the true measure of ongoing compliance in the coming years will be demonstrable, effective operation supported by verifiable data. That's the pivot point we're focused on today.
Okay, so let's define what that effective operation actually looks like. Our source material uses this wonderful, very descriptive analogy. You need to manage the care and feeding of your SMS. Let's start with care, because that seems to represent the established structure.
Right. Care just means working in accordance with the system and processes you've already designed and documented within your SMS manual.
Yeah.
And these are the four established foundational elements that, well, anyone dealing with SMS already knows. But we should briefly distinguish them. They have very different functions.
The four pillars.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So first you have the safety policy. Mm-hmm. This establishes your management commitment, your responsibilities. It's the philosophical foundation of the whole thing.
Okay.
Second, there's safety risk management, or SRM. This is the proactive design component. It's where you identify hazards, mm-hmm. you assess the risk in those hazards, and then you design mitigations before anything goes wrong.
So SRM is like designing the parachute before you even get in the plane.
A perfect analogy, yes. Then third, we have safety assurance, or SA. Mm-hmm. This is your verification loop It's where you actively test your mitigations in the real world to make sure they're working as designed. This is ongoing monitoring, audits, performance measurement.
And crucially, that's where all this continuous data we keep mentioning comes into play. So assurance is the mechanism that generates the proof of performance.
It is. And then finally, there's safety promotion. This is the communication and culture piece. So your training, your communication tools, feedback loops, all to make sure everyone understands the system and is actually motivated to participate in it. So CARE, in a nutshell, is maintaining and adhering to this four-part structure.
I get the structure, but the feeding component, that sounds like what truly transforms the SMS from just a static manual on a shelf into a dynamic tool that, you know, justifies all that effort. What is the substance of that feeding?
Feeding reflects the continuous, rich stream of input data you collect and channel into the system. It's the constant flow of information from the hangar floor, from maintenance checks, from incident reports, even from nonconformance reports. It is the lifeblood of the system.
And that data, as you say, it has to be collected and analyzed for three very specific purposes.
Yes. First, we need that data for ongoing risk assessment. Are our initial assumptions about likelihood and severity still valid 6 months or, you know, a year later?
Mm-hmm.
Second, we need data for assessing the success of our mitigations. Are the processes we put in place, the training, the tools, the checklists, are they actually reducing risk to that target acceptable level in the real world?
And the third one?
Assessing the general safety performance of the entire organization. This includes rigorously recording elements like what hazards you've identified, the risks you've calculated, the specific mitigations you've applied, and, most importantly, the effectiveness of those mitigations over time. This data stream essentially gives the SMS institutional eyes and ears.
I can see how that fundamentally shifts the company culture. It's no longer about whether we have the manual. It's about whether the processes in the manual are achieving the intended results based on real-world inputs from the crew turning the wrenches.
Well, and it moves us from a punitive culture where data collection is feared to a learning culture.
Right. And that brings us directly to the distinctive edge that SMS potentially holds over previous, less effective safety programs. The source material really emphasizes that its superiority lies entirely in this mandatory mechanism for getting operational data consistently, continuously.
And then having the analytical rigor to actually act on that data.
Old safety programs, particularly the ones focused only on compliance, they often relied exclusively on, what, scheduled quality audits? Or worse, they only relied on incident reports after something failed catastrophically.
Exactly. Those are inherently backward-looking, reactive, or at best, they're based on snapshots in time. SMS demands continuous forward-looking data flow. This data is the only mechanism that truly allows the system to remain robust and stable.
But, and this is a critical point, that same continuous stream of data might instantly reveal brand new safety hazards that you didn't even anticipate in the initial planning phase.
That's the early warning system.
So if you start seeing a pattern in the data, say, a rise in specific human factors errors on the third shift, that data flags a new hazard, requiring immediate entry into the safety risk management process for assessment and mitigation.
That's the dynamic responsive capability we're talking about. Without that continuous feeding, your safety program is basically trying to manage a modern, evolving aviation environment using a static, you know, 1990s risk assessment. The reality of your maintenance operations changes daily. New tools, new people, new supply chain challenges. The safety program has to keep pace.
And if the system can't process data continuously, it fails to keep pace. Yeah. And that operational mismatch is where these hidden, unacceptable risks start to live.
Precisely.
That dynamic nature of risk moves us right into the discussion of data retention. For decades, compliance-focused companies have operated on this principle of, you know, do an initial risk assessment, get the manager sign off, and then file the document away. Why is that fatally insufficient for a performing SMS?
Because, as we've stressed, safety risk is not a static quantity. It's not a number you calculate once. The risk profile of any given maintenance operation, especially highly complex ones like an engine overhaul or a major structural repair, is constantly shifting.
Based on what?
External pressures, organizational decisions, human factors, even macroeconomic trends that impact your staffing or parts availability. I mean, if you only assess the risk once, you're anchoring your entire safety effort to a single moment in time.
And without continuous data feeding the system, the organization has no way of knowing when that baseline assessment becomes dangerously inaccurate. You're effectively flying blind, just betting that nothing crucial has changed since you filed that initial report.
You lose all institutional memory.
Yeah.
And to make this concept really practical, our sources outline three very specific scenarios where a hazard that was initially deemed acceptable or, you know, properly mitigated might suddenly require further immediate action. These really illustrate why the SMS has to retain and cross-reference all its historical safety data.
Okay, let's walk through them, because they underline the necessity of this complex database structure we're going to talk about next. The first scenario is pretty simple. You just got the risk calculation wrong initially.
Yes, the incorrect initial assessment. When you first assessed the likelihood or severity of a hazard, maybe you just underestimated the consequence or the frequency. You might have recorded a post-mitigation risk value as, say, acceptable low.
But then reality kicks in.
Right. The ongoing continuous data from your operations starts showing the hazard occurring much more often or with a far greater safety effect, a higher real-world severity than you originally calculated.
So the system has to remember what it thought the risk was, that initial assessment, in order to measure the delta, the difference between that initial guess and what the risk actually is in practice.
Exactly. If you don't have that documented initial baseline, you can't measure the performance variance.
It's like a pilot comparing their actual fuel burn rate against their calculated flight plan. If the plan isn't retained, the continuous data becomes meaningless.
That's a great analogy. The second scenario relates directly to the safety assurance element. Ineffective mitigations.
This is where the mitigations themselves, the controls, start to degrade.
Correct. You invested time and money, establishing controls, new processes, updated training, specialized equipment, all to reduce risk. You created a set of documented processes that, on paper, looked like they reduced the likelihood or severity to an acceptable level. But your safety assurance mechanism, maybe through scheduled internal audits or targeted reports from the hangar floor, suggest those existing mitigations are failing or degrading or just being circumvented because of human factors or operational pressure.
So if the database hasn't tracked the mitigation's intended function and its success metrics and its relationship to the original hazard, you don't know when it breaks down. Or, more importantly, you don't know how its failure impacts other related risks.
The maintenance equivalent of this can be really complex. So imagine a procedure requires a specific torque wrench calibration check daily. The process is in place, that's the mitigation. The data shows the maintenance crew is signing off on the check, that's compliance.
But the audit reveals the calibration equipment itself is faulty.
Exactly, that's the ineffective mitigation. And only by cross-referencing the mitigation's performance with the associated hazard, let's say structural failure due to incorrect torque, does the system flag the need for immediate corrective action.
That makes perfect sense. The third scenario is fascinating because it's entirely proactive and strategic, changing goals.
This is where the organization decides to fundamentally raise its own safety bar, to move well beyond the regulatory minimums. You might have a process hazard that was acceptably mitigated yesterday, meeting all the FAA and EASA requirements.
But today, the game has changed.
Right. Today, organizational safety goals shift. Maybe it's following a high-profile industry incident, or maybe you're trying to secure a major new contract that demands a higher safety threshold than your existing baseline.
So if your goal is now zero defect performance in a specific repair area, that might require you to further mitigate or even completely eliminate a hazard that was previously just acceptable low.
Precisely. And if that initial hazard, the analysis of its risk, and the data related to its current mitigation are all buried across hundreds of fragmented PDF documents or spreadsheets, you can't easily locate it, assess the cost, or systematically enhance the controls required to meet that new strategic goal. It becomes a manual, lengthy, and very subjective project.
It sounds like a high-value SMS really transforms the safety program into a tool for competitive advantage, for strategic goal setting, rather than just being a cost of doing business internationally.
It does. But to use it that way, you need a single, centralized, intelligent system. You need to capture, track, and cross-reference all safety information in a structured way. And this structured retention is the non-negotiable foundation for any proactive analysis, which is why we have to talk about the required architecture now.
This brings us to the core mechanism, the central recommendation from the source material. Moving beyond flat files, moving beyond simple spreadsheets, and building the SMS engine on a relational database structure. Now, for listeners who aren't deeply technical, why is that relational structure so necessary? Why can't a really detailed spreadsheet handle this level of complexity?
Let's start with a simple analogy. Think of a flat file, like a simple spreadsheet, as a paper phone book. If you want to find a name, you look it up, you get a number. That data is all housed in one simple table. There's no complexity.
Okay, very linear.
Very. Now, think of a relational database as a modern, large company's human resources system.
Okay, I see the immediate jump in complexity there.
The HR system doesn't just list an employee's name and their ID. It links that employee ID, that's the primary key, to separate tables containing completely different kinds of information. Their training records, the equipment they're assigned, the projects they're currently on, their supervisor, their required certifications.
So if I change the employee's certification status in one table, the system instantly knows which projects that employee is working on from another table, and it can alert the project manager to a compliance issue. The different pieces of information interact.
That is the essence of relationality. And when you apply that to SMS, the database is designed to handle these intricate, overlapping, and interdependent connections between your hazards, your risks, and your mitigations. It has to list all recognized hazards, and most importantly, their associated risk assessment metrics.
Both initial and post-mitigation.
Both. Both the initial risk assessment, the raw risk before you apply any controls, and the post-mitigation risk assessment, the acceptable final level of risk. Capturing those two is vital.
Because it quantifies the safety benefit of your processes.
Absolutely. If the post-mitigation risk number is high, your controls are weak. If it's low, they're effective. But the reason we need the relational structure is because the relationship between a hazard and its control is rarely one-to-one, especially in complex aviation maintenance.
Okay, let's use the concrete example from our source material, the risk of non-conforming parts. I mean, this is a pervasive risk across the entire industry.
It is. So let's isolate the hazard. Obtaining and inadvertently installing parts that do not meet the correct specifications. This could be anything from an incorrect alloy to faulty certification paperwork.
And the unmitigated risk here is obvious and severe. We're talking about catastrophic structural or system failure. That's an unacceptable risk level before any controls are applied.
Because the risk is unacceptable, a number of layered interdependent mitigations are legally required under Part 145 quality mandates. And these aren't simple single actions. They might include, say, first, receiving inspections, the physical check. Second, receiving inspector training, making sure the inspector is competent. Third, comprehensive supplier audits, making sure the source is reliable. And maybe fourth, special measurement equipment and calibration, giving them the means to verify complex specs.
I can see the immediate problem if this were a spreadsheet. You'd track the hazard, and then you'd list one mitigation, maybe receiving inspection, and all those critical dependencies, the training, the audit program, the equipment maintenance, they would be completely invisible in the context of that hazard.
Exactly. The spreadsheet hides the relationships. The relational database forces you to map the complexity. And there are two types of complexity here that demand relationality. The many-to-one and the one-to-many.
Okay, let's start with the one-to-many.
This is where one mitigation process may respond to more than one hazard. So, for example, that specialized inspector training program we just mentioned is listed in one table in the database. When you look up that training program, the relational structure shows you it is linked to three separate hazard tables. The non-spec parts hazard, the incorrect maintenance documentation hazard, and maybe the improper storage and shelf life hazard.
That is the crucial cross-reference. So if I'm a training manager and I decide to streamline my program by cutting out a section on documentation control, the database instantly flags that I am potentially undermining the mitigation for the documentation hazard, even though my primary goal was only to speed up training related to parts inspection.
It illuminates the systemic interconnectedness. Now let's look at the many-to-one relationship.
Yeah.
Each hazard may have more than one mitigating process that collectively reduces the risk to an acceptable level.
Right.
Our non-spec parts hazard required inspection, training, audits, and special equipment. Those four items are separate records in the mitigation table, but they are all linked back to the single non-spec parts hazard.
So if a procurement manager decides to decommission that special measurement equipment, maybe it's too costly to maintain, the database forces an immediate reassessment. It shows that by removing one pillar of the mitigation strategy, you have to immediately reassess the post-mitigation risk associated with non-spec parts because your collective defense is now weaker.
And the risk number likely spikes back up toward the unacceptable level, requiring the organization to either invest in a new control or formally accept a higher risk profile, which might violate their regulatory commitment.
Let's add a second, smaller example just to really cement the concept for the listener. Let's move away from parts and look at the complexity of, say, shift handover and tool control.
Perfect. So, hazard. foreign object debris, or FOD, resulting from unsecured tools left behind during maintenance, especially during a shift change. The unmitigated risk is severe, as FOD can cause catastrophic engine or flight control damage.
Okay, so mitigation A, standard operating procedure requiring a physical tool count at the end of a job. Mitigation B, specific training on FOD awareness and tool accountability. And mitigation C, the shift handover briefing process to make sure the incoming team knows what was worked on and where.
Now, here's the relational twist. Mitigation C, that shift handover briefing, is not only linked to the FOD and tool control hazard, it is also linked to the incorrect maintenance procedure hazard, making sure the next shift continues the right task, and the worker fatigue hazard, making sure the outgoing team reports any potential safety lapses due to being tired.
So if management decides to cut out the formal shift handover briefing to save 15 minutes per shift, the relational database instantly pulls up three separate critical hazards that were all relying on that single briefing process for their mitigation. It becomes instantly clear that this proposed change is a systemic risk accelerator.
It acts as an interconnected, dynamic internal safety map. It stops you from accidentally pulling a thread like cutting a shift briefing that unravels seemingly unrelated safety measures like tool accountability or documentation control. And this complex relationship management is precisely why a relational structure is essential for an effective SMS.
That structural complexity is convincing, but for an organization that is just starting out, taking this highly analytical relational concept and applying it can feel completely overwhelming. For the maintenance manager who's trying to run a business, how do you sell the team on this without making it feel like just another FAA or EASA administrative burden? Where does one practically begin building this without halting hangar operations for 6 months?
That's a critical piece of operational friction that has to be addressed. And the source offers a very practical, very smart starting point, precisely to avoid that sense of overwhelming administrative burden.
Yeah.
And it is. Populate the database using the company's existing processes. Don't start by inventing new hazards or designing new processes. Start by mapping the work you already do.
Wait, isn't that just a massive administrative task? I mean, why bother mapping a required Part 145 inspection to an avoided hazard when we already know why we do it? Isn't that just over-engineering the paperwork?
It looks like over-engineering on the surface, but it's actually about reframing the existing work to create a structured analytical tool. Every process your company executes is meant to accomplish a goal, but those goals are often expressed in procedural terms, like step one, inspect the part per manual X.
Okay.
The genius of this method is to recharacterize the goal of each existing process as an avoided hazard.
Okay, give me that reframing example again.
The goal of the receiving inspection process is no longer just to comply with the manual. Its reframe goal, in SMS terms, is avoiding the hazard of improperly relieved goods. That recharacterization creates your pre-existing hazard mitigation pair. That's the foundational record you enter into the relational database. You're mapping compliance to risk reduction.
That reframes the entire operation for the person turning the wrenches. My job is no longer just inspecting parts. My job is mitigating the catastrophic hazard of installing non-conforming parts. It gives the work a higher purpose and direct safety relevance.
It does. And this method provides four immediate, powerful benefits that justify that initial administrative investment. First, you instantly start building a comprehensive understanding of how your existing system actually works to reduce risk. It forces management to think critically about why they do what they do.
Okay, what's the second benefit?
You immediately identify those pre-existing hazard mitigation pairs, the foundations of your relational database. You are simply cataloging what is already working. Third, and this is where the efficiency comes in, you immediately highlight existing processes that appear to lack a function or are not tied to a clear avoided hazard.
Ah, so you're trimming the fat. If a process isn't required by regulation and isn't mitigating a defined risk, why are we dedicating resources to doing it? The SMS database acts as a mechanism for organizational streamlining.
Precisely. It reveals procedural crust. And the fourth benefit, perhaps most critically in terms of a long-term value, is that you immediately create a useful populated tool for change management, which is the ultimate strategic payoff. You don't have to start from zero when a change is proposed.
So let's move to the continuous improvement loop. We've populated the database with initial data. Now, we need the mechanism for reviewing that data to support iteration. This is the safety assurance program in action. How does the data feed back?
Well, the database has to feed directly into safety assurance. Traditionally, audits focus on procedural compliance. Is the checklist filled out correctly? The SMS pivots this. Safety assurance activities, your audits, should be specifically scheduled and structured to test the performance of the mitigation processes themselves. You're assessing effectiveness, not just adherence.
So the auditor goes to the hangar floor, finds the process labeled mitigation, receiving inspector training, and the audit has to answer two specific performance questions about that mitigation.
It must assess, first, whether the process is correctly implemented in the field. Is the inspector actually doing the work the way the manual describes, or have organizational pressures forced shortcuts? And second, the more difficult question, whether the process is achieving the intended safety results. Is the rate of non-conforming parts reaching the maintenance line actually decreasing, or is the training simply failing to transfer skills effectively?
That distinction between implementation and effectiveness is vital. I mean, I can be perfectly compliant with the flawed, ineffective procedure. The SMS demands that I measure the results. So that performance data then needs to be recorded back into the system to drive the next iteration of improvement.
And the sources detailed exactly how to document the findings generated by these safety assurance processes. There are two key mechanisms for recording audit data. The first is highly analytical, and it focuses on the living nature of the risk number. You compare the anticipated risk assessment, the risk value you calculated when the mitigation was developed, against a corrected risk assessment once the process has been audited.
So if the audit shows the training program is only, say, 50% effective, I have to update my post-mitigation risk assessment number to reflect the higher real-world risk. And that higher risk number then triggers a mandatory reassessment of controls.
It acts as a closed-loop feedback mechanism. The risk number becomes a living metric, constantly tested against operational reality. The second and more straightforward mechanism is to simply record the detailed findings associated with the audited process and then use those objective findings to directly drive future process improvements and innovations.
Give me a real-world example of that second mechanism driving innovation.
Okay. If the safety assurance audit finds three recurring instances where mechanics fail to properly document a repair step involving fluids, maybe they skipped the checklist item because it was physically awkward to reach the sign-off point, that finding immediately flags a need for revised training, or, more innovatively, it suggests the physical location of the documentation terminal needs to change. The data drives the systemic fix, not just the retraining of the individual.
That is continuous organizational learning. So we've identified the hazards, implemented the mitigations, audited the performance, and recorded the results. The final element of the SMS loop is safety promotion. This is where we bring the entire workforce into the loop and justify the changes.
Correct. You use safety promotion mechanisms, communication tools, mandatory training sessions, team briefings to share the new processes and the data that supports them. You can't just mandate a change to a tooling procedure. You have to explain why that specific change is happening.
And the data makes the why unarguable. You can point directly to the audit finding that showed the previous process was leading to a higher than acceptable risk of FOD and then share the new data-backed procedure.
By providing a brief, accessible summary of the safety assurance data, what is working, what is not, and the resulting process changes, the company helps every employee and every business partner understand how the system is evolving and why those changes are important to the business's overall safety improvement efforts. That transparency builds trust. It fosters reporting, and it ensures critical buy-in from the people on the hangar floor. It closes the performance loop and transforms the entire safety culture.
This entire sophisticated structure, the mapping of hazards, the tracking of mitigations, the continuous assurance loop, it all culminates in the maximum value proposition. Our sources make it very clear. The robust relational database becomes an essential, non-negotiable tool for change management.
This is the strategic payoff that justifies all that initial administrative effort. In essence, the database structure acts as a dynamic, searchable internal safety map, linking hazards, risks, and mitigations in an analytically rigorous way.
So when a senior leader or management team proposes a major operational change like outsourcing a specific NET procedure or buying new, faster equipment, they no longer have to rely solely on tribal knowledge or, you know, educated guesses about the safety impact.
That reliance on conjecture is where so many legacy systems have failed. In aviation maintenance, even a seemingly small efficiency improvement like reducing documentation steps or changing a shift schedule can have cascading, unintended consequences if it touches a safety-critical process.
Unintended consequences are often the result of failing to understand that relational dependency.
And the database is the preventative measure against that systemic breakdown. provides a formal, structured process for pre-assessing the risk of a change.
Okay, let's walk through the three-step process for assessing a planned organizational or procedural change using this tool. I want to make sure we highlight the database's role at each step.
Okay, step one, identify the procedure plan for change. This is the management trigger. We want to update the receiving inspection process, or we are reducing the size of the quality audit team. Simple enough.
Okay. Step two is where the relational database performs its magic.
Yes. Step two, consult the relational database to see which hazards are mitigated by this procedure. Instead of manually tracing documents, the database instantly spits out all the interconnected risks associated with that specific procedure. If you're changing the receiving inspection to SOP, the database immediately flags the non-spec parts hazard, the documentation compliance hazard, and maybe even the training gap hazard if the SOP is linked to the training table.
It provides a complete risk portfolio for the proposed action, and step three is the analytical step.
Step three, assess whether the proposed change will negatively affect the way the related hazards are mitigated by the procedural modification. You ask the direct, data-driven question. If we simplify this process by removing a required cross-check, does that simplification unintentionally remove one of the four essential mitigations currently keeping the risk of a non-conforming part installation at an acceptable level?
So the goal is explicitly defined: to avoid undermining years of documented safety effort through those unintended consequences. Without that relational structure, you are depending on an individual manager's memory, which changes when they leave the organization, or a manual, time-consuming review of hundreds of disconnected procedures.
And the critical transformation here is the shift from subjective to objective analysis. By using the SMS database, you now have verifiable data that defines the risk relationships to drive your change management analysis. It replaces a reliance on mere conjectures or, you know, internal debates about the likely effects of a change.
The data shows exactly which risks are coupled to the procedure you plan to modify. It makes the safety argument a measurable fact.
It's a massive operational shift. It means safety analysis is no longer an afterthought or a compliance sign-off. It is a fundamental integrated component of every major business decision, driving efficiency without eroding the safety margin.
So it allows the organization to be agile, but safely agile.
Mm-hmm. And while the relational database provides the foundational data-driven safety context that was previously missing, the source reminds us of an important balance. The SMS database should be an important tool, but it should not be the only tool in analyzing changes. You still need human expertise. You need input from the mechanics and inspectors who execute the work and consideration of economic and resource factors. But now that human judgment is informed by institutional safety data.
What a detailed deep dive into organizational architecture. We started with a regulatory necessity, the EISA mandate flowing down to U.S. repair stations, and we tracked its progression to an indispensable operational tool. We covered the necessary components, the care, maintaining the four elements of policy, risk management, assurance, and promotion, and the feeding, the continuous data flow from the hangar floor.
And we established the critical and often misunderstood role of the relational database. This structure is not just a digital filing system, it's the high-performance engine that manages those complex many-to-many relationships between hazards, risks, and the multi-layered mitigations required in modern aviation maintenance. It really is the core mechanism that ensures your system remains responsive and intelligent.
And by starting smart, by mapping existing processes to define avoided hazards and driving safety assurance audits that rigorously test real-world mitigation effectiveness, the SMS is revealed to be a living system. It's designed for continuous iteration and strategic risk management, not just initial sign-off.
The real power is its ability to predict and prevent unintended safety consequences during periods of organizational growth or change.
Absolutely.
And that leads us to our final provocative thought for you to carry forward as you develop your program. If the relational database is the engine of the safety management system, then the true measure of your organizational safety maturity is the depth, accuracy, and utilization of the connections you establish between your daily operational processes and the hazards they were originally designed to avoid. You already do the work, you inspect parts, and you audit suppliers. The SMS database simply forces you to precisely map the inherent systemic risk that work is designed to mitigate, turning compliance into strategic insight.